This is Katrina saying hello again. The choice of scented flowers in autumn is very limited, but some of the late flowering shrubs will keep going into September and even October, depending on the weather. In a sheltered position in full sun and well-drained soil, the abelia varieties of this deciduous shrub should thrive. The arching branches display the clusters of pale pink fragrant flowers from July to October. This shrub may be slow to establish after planting, but should get away well when it is truly settled in. Osmanthus hectophilius is an evergreen shrub that likes having other shrubs as close neighbours to give protection from sun and cold. It will not crowd other shrubs as it keeps a good compact shape with its holly-like leaves. The white fragrant flowers appear in autumn and have a pleasing scent similar to jasmine. Although we think of the familiar butterfly bush or buddleia as a summer flowering shrub, if pruned back, it can be persuaded to produce honey-scented flowers in early autumn, at a time when flowers are more limited. Given a sunny open position with well-drained light soil, they very often produce a second batch of smaller flowers from the side shoots. Our old stable yard is enclosed with walls, making it a small walled garden with a deep concrete floor. To overcome this, we put in raised beds along the base of the walls, which makes a very sheltered area. One of the most prolific plants on the wall is sweet spire or Itera lissifolia. This has evergreen holly-like foliage, and in late summer and early autumn, the whole plant is covered with long trestles made up of minute greenish flowers, all giving out the unique fragrance that fills the air. Raised bed and containers need watering in summer, but the rewards are well worth the effort. Another wall shrub in this area is the jasmine officinale, the white flowering jasmine with delicate scent in late July to early September. This species does sprawl about and will twist round anything it comes into contact with. If pruned to keep in place, the flowering will be very limited, even on a warm, sunny wall. Lonicera are honeysuckles, most with scented flowers that are so familiar as climbing plants. There is a bush honeysuckle, Lonicera fragitissima, that has scented, creamy white flowers throughout the winter when the weather allows. Lonicera serotina, carrying on flowering until October, needs a tall, strong support to scramble over. As honeysuckles do not keep a good shape, they love hedges or trees to run wild in a natural environment as possible. The new concrete path we laid down earlier in the year was not a great success. It was too narrow, too high, and too white. It stuck out like a sore thumb, and visitors tended to step off the sides, and I was worried that someone was going to wring their ankles over. So we decided to make a narrow border down each side of the path, which meant cutting out strips of turf. We took soil from the compost heap to build up to the path, and then planted Saxifraga umbrosa, or London Pride. These are evergreen and will grow well into each other, making an edge that will soften the hard edge of the path, and they flower in spring. The large border that has the pond and bird bath, with conifer and Lonicera natidia growing to give a shelter to the near path, and I pruned back the shrubs so the ride-on mower could get round, and we put the cut turf on the bare soil. So in effect, we moved the border away from the path, and the turf has grown into the lawn. I decided that the young London Pride plants needed protection from the pheasants and blackbirds They love to pull out anything that is newly planted. So I put some wire frames over the plants, but didn't have quite enough, so there were gaps. Well, it was just like having new play equipment in a playground, as far as the wildlife was concerned. The pheasants, the whole blackbird family, the robin, the squirrels, and even the rabbit came over to see the new arrangement. I don't know what was so attractive to them, but the blackbird spent all day walking over the frames, pecking the wire netting, and soils and plants spilled out over the gaps onto the path, and all had a very good time. I brushed wet soil into the path surface and it took off the bright new look. A week after planting, I removed the frames on the plants as they were getting flattened underneath. All interest was lost when this happened and the plants and turf were left alone. I felt I had spoilt all the fun, but the plants have rooted well and are starting to spill over the edge of the path. And the new turf looks as if it's always been there, and the path has mellowed into its surroundings. Visitors coming now say how nice it looks, and it has completely turned an ugly path into something much more welcoming. The weather in autumn can vary from lovely, warm, still sunny days to gale-force winds and heavy rain. Sunny, warm days are a great bonus at this time of the year, and if the soil is moist and warm, it's ideal for planting, especially shrubs, trees and hedging. Plants can get established before cold weather sets in, and the following spring will get ahead with growing well. Warm, wet weather in autumn delays the autumn-tinted colour, and although cold temperatures at night are not particularly welcome, it does encourage leaves to turn from green through to yellow, orange and red hues according to the tree species. In our back garden we have a Circus forest pansy. This is a large shrub with big round copper leaves for most of the year, but now is turning to every shade of golden crimson and to a wine red. It gives support to an ancient Eleagnus maculata that has evergreen weeping branches full of golden leaves edged with bright green, and the two shrubs complement each other very well. Further along the shrubbery is a mature arbutus or strawberry tree. At this time of the year the evergreen foliage is covered in clusters of white flowers, similar to lily of the valley. But the unusual thing about this plant is that it has fruit on at the same time as flowering. These fruits are bright scarlet, the size and shape of marbles. They are edible, and the flavour is between strawberries and peaches. Strangely enough, the birds don't seem to know these fruits and leave them alone. The whole shrub is very decorative and has the extra bonus of pleasant fruit. Any plants with berries is welcomed by the birds, and the wild cherries were the first to go. But the Turingo crabapple tree in the middle of the lawn is weighed down with small yellow to red crabapples at the time of writing. I expect the birds, deer and rabbits have been feeding on the Bramley apple windfalls in the middle paddock and will save the crabapples for later. The sorbus or rowan trees do not thrive on our heavy soil, but have produced heads of berries on bare branches and are not really very attractive, but will be appreciated in cold weather by blackbirds and thrushes. The hollies and cotoneasters also have their usual crop of berries. These shrubs are planted in groups to encourage the pollination of male and female flowers. Although I have not seen so many flies and wasps this year, there must have been plenty of pollinators around, as the fruits are so abundant. The hedgerows are also well stocked with hips from the wild roses and haws from the hawthorn bushes, and gradually the leaves turn yellow and then brown before they fall. A rampant Clematis tangutica has covered the boundary fence and also gone up the conifers for about 20 foot. Earlier it was a mass of yellow bell-shaped flowers and is now covered from top to bottom with silky, silvery seed heads that will stay on the plant throughout the winter until I prune it again in early spring. The bulbs of Nerines have shot up more buds than ever this year, and the deep pink spiky flowers on the tall bare stems show up very well against the dark timber of the shed and gouge. It's lovely to have all this colour in autumn, which will soon disappear into the winter season. Until next time, goodbye.